Salutations and shit, guys. Welcome back to your new favorite travel podcast, Travel and Shit. I am your host, D. Carey. And welcome back to all my old listeners and a welcome to my new listeners. So Travel and Shit is a podcast where myself and an occasional guest will discuss our or my experiences during travel, whether they be new places, old places, and a lot of times a lot of normal everyday topics, race, gender, politics, gender identity, fluidity, all that great shit, and how it's actually experienced through travel. So today I was on the, well, actually, first of all, hold up. This is episode 53. So technicalities, 52 weeks in a year. So technically we've been doing this for a year, guys. Thank you to all of you that wished me a happy year. I really appreciate you guys marking the milestone with me. I want to say when we started, there were two episodes that I launched with. So technically episode 53 is episode 52. So I think that this one is actually the 1 year, either or. October 10th, I want to say, was the day we went live, or October 11th. I looked on Instagram and I feel like I posted on the 10th that the podcast was live. So I'm going to go with either October 10th or 11th as the year marker. And it's the beginning of October, so we are fast approaching, folks. Thank you to those of you that have been here for the full year. And thank you to you guys that have joined us along the way. I hope you guys are enjoying the trip. See what I did there? You know what I mean? A little travel podcast, a little humor, I guess. But truly, honestly, truly, I appreciate you all. So this week, I was on Instagram. No, I was scrolling and deleting emails. And I actually saw one from JetBlue. And I tend to just occasionally pay attention to my JetBlue emails only because I like to keep a tab on where my points are. And also because, you know, you want to be in the loop when they have their $30 one-way flights, you know, because right now you could get to Atlanta for $31 one way. You could get to, I think, Boston for like $35 one way or something like that. So quick weekend trip. Ooh, that's generally what the caveat is that you have to travel. You have to book by a certain date, and then you generally have to travel a certain way. Like it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday travel as opposed to Friday through Sunday, you know. But if you've got that flexibility, sadly, I don't. But if you do have that flexibility, that's something that you may want to look into. So occasionally I pay attention to the 1,000,004 emails that we get in a day, right? And this one kind of caught me off guard. And it started off with student debt, question mark. SoFi has a fly solution. Now, I've never heard of SoFi. I don't know what the fuck it is. But apparently you can refinance your student loans with JetBlue. So let me just read this to you. Make your student loans fly away. Get one TrueBlue point for every $2 of student loans refinanced with SoFi, up to 50,000 points. Girl, so I remember a time when I was considering refinancing my my student loans, and lo and behold, y'all remember Blockbuster? I don't know. I feel like the median age is going to remember Blockbuster. Some of you may not. Blockbuster was it was the precursor to Netflix, if you will. There was a time and place where we had to actually go rent movies that we wanted to see. We had to go rent video games that we wanted to play, and we could go to Blockbuster, or I can't remember what the other one, I feel like there was one other prominent one, and then there was like a bunch of mom and pop shops, right? But anyway, you could rent DVDs, you could rent VHSs, you could rent movies, TV shows, all that shit. I was big on renting movies. And of course, generous me, I let my dad and my brother, and I gave like my grandparents a card so that everybody could use my account and everybody could enjoy it, right? You know, I thought I was doing something big. You know what I mean? I got the account. Y'all could use it. Don't worry about it. Well, between my dad and my brother, these assholes ended up taking out a fucking video game and never returning it. So, like the library, when you don't return the shit that you borrow, there are late fees. And then after it being late for an X amount of time, you end up basically just having to pay for what it is you've rented. So video games were as always, it was at $80 for a fucking video game. I had no idea that they had rented the game. It didn't bother me because it's like, you know, you rent it, you return it, right? Fucking logic. However, like I said, these assholes never returned it. So news to me, I now was, what's it called? Because it hasn't happened since. I can't remember what it is. Like, I was in collections. I ended up being in fucking collections for a video game that I'd never even seen or touched in my life. And so when I was trying to refinance my student loan, I had the collections against me. So I ended up not getting approved for the one moment that I would have appreciated it, because you graduate, they say, hey, ho-ho, congratulations, Merry Christmas. It's about 6 months after you graduated now. Hey, bitch, we want our money. So, yeah, when all of that hit, it was all new. And, girl, I was looking forward to refinancing and getting those payments down, but it was not an option because of, I think, dad and my brother and fucking Blockbuster. So that drawn out story kind of has me with a taste on refinancing loans in my mouth just because of my own personal experience with it, right? But as many of us know, a lot of times personal experience is what causes us to feel positively or negatively about an experience or about, you know, certain activities or certain environments. And I was a little, now mind you, you could get pretty far on your JetBlue points. You can have, say, 12,000 JetBlue points and really go someplace. 12,000 points with Delta ain't gonna get you nowhere. So I wouldn't say that it would be something that I wouldn't 100% trust. Only because if you're going to refinance, you're going to refinance. Look into whether or not SoFi or whatever it is actually, you know, a reputable company. That ain't what my degree is in. I can't confirm nor deny that they're good, bad, or anything in between. But this whole idea of refinancing the loans and it having to do with travel just made me think of scams. The first thing I thought of was like, you know, that just sound like it's too good to be true. And many of us have experienced things that are too good to be true while we've been abroad. Either that or we've just been fucked over while we've been traveling. So I decided that I would use today to, I guess, harp upon or touch on some of the experiences that I have had where I think that I was either about to be got, did get got, or heard someone else, like a couple of things I'd heard from other people as experiences that they have had where they had, you know, been, scammed abroad. So let me go live since, oh, so I record on Tuesdays, guys. Feel free to join me on the Instagrams and participate in shit. Okay, let's see. I'm reconnecting. Ew, what up, bro? How you feeling? Welcome to the IG Live. So, hi, James. Let's see. Let me pull up my notes. Ow, hey, Drew. Drew, you're gonna enjoy this with me. You see, I got my little ambiance. Oh, and you guys can also see the scenery. Check out what it's like to be in Le Studio with me. Hint, hint, hint. you all may be able to experience what it's like to be in the studio with me. Year two is going to have some new additions, if you will. So stay tuned to that, and I basically hinted at what it would be. I don't know what to say that it smells like. The plug-in, it's not a Glade, it's the one here, that thing. But anyway, it smells good. It smells nice in here. Anywho, so these are some of the experiences I had with being scammed. So for those of you that just joined, thank you all to all of you that are joining me on the lives, talking about scams. So, and this is actually, I'm recording the podcast. So for those of you listening, sorry for me talking to the people on live, but this could be you on the live and we could be talking to each other twice. Yeah. All right. So let me see where the, I'm going to start with, China. So this one, not good, not bad. I don't think I got scammed, right? Because I ended up doing a little bit of research to figure out that what to kind of avoid. Basically, I was reading, what's the girl's thing? Aw, hey, Callie, this is Humanoid. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. So I do. It makes my heart warm. I was watching this thing from, what's up, Henry? I was on YouTube and there's this young lady named, I want to say her name is Dia or something like that. Anyway, she was born in China, lived there for a while, then came to the States. And so she's spent time growing up in both locations. So I'll find a link and put it in the episode notes on the website, dcarrie.com. And I'll have that information there so that you guys can follow up with her and check out her YouTube video. But one of the things that she had mentioned was something as simple as bargaining for prices. So it's a cultural norm over there to not pay the first price. Say you go into a shop and everything's kind of not like a, I don't want to say retail, but it's not like going to a, you're not going to go to the Louis store in China and bargain. That's not how that works. What she was saying is if you go to a, like a boutique or a touristy shop or just like a shop in general where you know the merchant is controlling the pricing of the items, you're not going to, you know, pay the price that they're telling you. You're going to be like, oh, that's too much. And then basically walk away. And that, like, they're supposed to just like, okay, what about this or something like that. It actually, I think I mentioned it in the past. Same shit in Chinatown. I had to buy a fucking hat and gloves. So I ended up going to, and I work in Manhattan. So I'm in Chinatown. I go to pick up a hat. And I'm like, I'm not paying $25 for this shit. I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't, $25? No. She's like, oh, you gave me another price. I'm like, I'll give you, and I said something like low. I said, $7. She was like, no, 15. I was just like, I ain't gonna give you 15 either. So we bargained out the price. And it was like, I had never like haggled a price like that before. And so it was just like, oh, okay. And she seemed really pleased with whatever number I gave her in the end. So it was just like, okay, so I guess this is just how different, like, keep in mind that you could be getting G'd just because you're not on game. It's not always the case where someone is trying to be malicious about getting over on you. I think a lot of times it tends to be that since you don't know, they're going to just take advantage of the situation, if you will. So similar to just taking advantage of the situation, where was it? Oh, one of the things that I know has happened to me more than once was getting played by taxi drivers. That is a very common scam. It's a very nuanced thing because we all know that there's a price for the locals, and then there's a price for like everybody else, right? So, and there's also like the homie price, and then there's the price that people you don't know pay. So, hold on, let me close this door. So y'all can holler if you hear me. So, who's this? G4K. And depending on where you are, they'll give you a different price. Absolutely. So there's, I was saying that taxis. I feel like from what I know to be true, because I can't say that I'm aware of every time I've ever been disenfranchised or every time that I've, you know, gotten played before or someone has gotten over on me. But what I know and where after it's happened, I felt like I got played always has been, not always, but the most frequency has occurred when it comes to taxis. So it'll either be you heard one person tell you, oh, it shouldn't really cost you more than like $10. Say you're converting in your head, right? That's why I find out if they Haitian almost free. Oh, love Haitians. Love, love, love Haitians. Every Labor Day, when I gotta pick a side, I choose Haiti. I'm not Haitian at all. And funny story, I've had friends that we went to college together. 7 years later, they're like, D, you're not Haitian? I'm like, no, bro, I've never been Haitian. Like, I thought you was Haitian this whole time. I'm flattered. I'm just an American girl. Anywho, back to the taxis. I know that I was in Cuba, and what I did was I had the tour guide that I was with hail a cab for me. Found out the price, asked him the price, like as a local, asked him, spoke to him and was just like, this is how much it's going to cost. Then he puts me in the taxi, told me how much I was going to have to pay. Ah, we worked that out. However, another way they get you is with the wrong fucking change. So different currencies, different textures, colors, sizes, a lot of places that, one of the places that was probably the most confusing, was it in Colombia? No, shit, where was that? Oh, Bali. Bali was one of the most, I think it was Bali. I want to say it was probably Bali was pretty confusing. Just in terms of some places will have their prices in like the millions, right? So in your mind, it's like a lot, it's expensive. But it's not. It's like a million rupees here or a million, whatever the type of the currency is. But a million something might convert to like $5 in American money or like $2, whatever the case. It can be very confusing sometimes to convert your currency on the flip. So I always just pull out the currency app and find out, is this something that I'm willing to spend X, Y, and Z and whatever, right? But when it's something that you gotta do anyway, for the most part, if you're gonna get in a taxi, it's because you gotta get in a taxi. So if you're gonna get in there, you are in your mind equipped, you're ready to spend something, but then that getting the change back, it's a lot of them try to like get over on you and they'll give you something that's less than what you should be getting so that of course they're gonna win. That's what happened in Cuba. I know this nigga gave me the wrong change, but at the end, but then it's just like, in your head, you don't really want to argue them on it because you feel, I guess it's like that American guilt where you kind of feel like it's only $5 in my head or it's only $5 in, you know, when it converts, it's only $5 for me. However, hey, auntie, it's still your fucking $5. You know what I mean? So even if it's a small or an insignificant amount on your end, for me, it's the principle of you're playing me. I take it as disrespect. I understand that this $5 to me is not a lot, but it's more to you. So I generally don't want to argue that case with somebody. Let me see. What is Atomic Travel? Atomic S Travels. Vienna was the worst. They don't take Euro. Word. I didn't even, there's someplace else. yeah, I'm definitely not Haitian. But the, there was someplace else. Oh, London. So I converted like a bunch of euros for Rome, and then I ended up getting to London, and then they do pounds. So it was like, we gotta convert again, right? But anyway, it's the conversion, although insignificant when it comes to you and what it is in your currency, you're still losing out on money that you've already converted. So even though it's only going to add up to something that you don't mind spending, now you're out that currency. So depending on what type of transactions you're making, if you're making transactions that aren't going to take credit cards, if you decide to eat someplace that doesn't take cards, or if you want to tip your driver, or if you want to tip somebody, or entrance fees, whatever the case may be, now you're short that currency that you could use for something else. So taxis, be careful when you go to taxis, and not just taxis, but merchants in general. Have an idea of what, like, try to familiarize yourself with the currency so that you don't get fucked over by somebody giving you the incorrect change when you're like, oh, I gotta go catch this taxi, I gotta catch this train, or I'm expected to be X, Y, and Z or someplace, and you're in a rush, and they see you're in a rush, and then they dick you over. So incorrect change, taxi overcharges, not knowing the cultural norms. This was a fun one. Bali. I'll say generally a driver or possibly a host, I want to say. In my experience, it was the driver that picked me up from the airport. When I got to Bali, oh, let me just tell you what the little scam is. So basically, someone telling you that they can get something done for you or do something for you when they can't. Someone telling you that they're also a tour guide, or that they provide tours, or that they provide a service that they don't actually do, but because you're a tourist, you may not know what the appropriate way for it to be done out there is, or the appropriate areas to go, or destinations, woo, woo, woo. So I intended to do nothing the first day I got to Bali. It was beautiful. I lounged around, sat by the pool, decent enough weather, had a great time, got a massage, shit like that. But I had intended to do two different activities on two different days, and then I was going to book all the typical touristy shit with, I was hoping to use a local tour guide, or I figured I'll figure it out when I get there, right? So I spent that first day booking the excursions and booking shit for the rest of my trip. Well, I booked out the 2 days, and then I just needed someone because I was, again, looking at the prices and it just didn't add up for what I wanted to spend and what I wanted to do. I ended up just doing, I spoke to the driver and I said, let me get your information and I'll confirm or deny with you whether or not I want you to drive. So I'm looking at the prices, and in hindsight, I probably should have just booked with Airbnb, which I generally use. I should have just booked with them as opposed to letting this nigga drive me. He was pleasant enough, but he was literally just a driver. He drove me to the different places that I wanted to go, which was great. However, he didn't have any additional information for me. I had tons of questions about stuff that we were passing by, things that I was seeing along the way, different locations that we were going to, and I would ask, and he didn't really have any information for me. So it was, I know one of the things that really stood out and made me kind of like, he was here for the dollar. I'm not mad. I had the full option of saying no and then actually just spending my money with someone that made sure to note in their offering, in the description on Airbnb or whatever. And then also with Airbnb, you have reviews. You can go by what other people are saying their experience has been. My host ended up setting up the driver for me to pick me up from the airport. He did that just well. But then I'd asked him and he said he could, and he didn't have any information for me. There was a really big holiday that was going on out there, and I really do not remember what it was. But he ended up saying that, you know, he gave me like such a Wikipedia answer, like on some, bro, hey, cuz, what's going on? He gave me such a Wikipedia answer where it was just like, so do you not know what the holiday is? It's like, if you don't know what the holiday is, or you don't know what it celebrates, or you don't have any info, tell me that. Don't just say, oh, it's a it's a very important holiday about good and bad. Oh, well, what about good and bad? You know what I mean? So it's just like, I ended up getting what I paid for. I paid for a driver and it was cool, but I was looking for a different experience. So I would definitely say to be wary of one of those things. Hi, Dave. One of those things that looks too good or seems too good to be true. We all know to be true that that's generally the case. And in that instance, it definitely was too good to be true. He had a great price. He was on time. He was very convenient. He was kind. It was polite. All those little checks, those little boxes were checked off. But when it comes to overall experience, I didn't get what I paid for. He sold me on the idea of, yeah, I do tours. And he had a little leaflet of something that was in the backseat of the car. But of course, all the shit that I wanted to do wasn't what was on his little leaflet. So he had his offering and I had my own plan of, you know, execution. And it worked out, but not as well as I would have liked it to. So that's what happened to me in Bali. So that was something that seemed too good to be true. So Colombia, there were two. And it's funny because in thinking about it, like, I never really feel like I've ever gotten scammed or like played out or just fucked over while I've been traveling, because I've never been pickpocketed. But I feel like gotta be careful with the careful with the too good to be true. I don't feel like I've ever been like, just because I haven't been pickpocketed doesn't necessarily, like, keep that in mind. Just because you haven't been robbed, or just because my ambiance is nice, just because you haven't been robbed doesn't mean that you haven't been scammed. So just keep that in mind with your travels, that not every scam is something elaborate. Not every scam is somebody creeping up behind you and slipping their hand in your pocketbook and stealing your passport. Like, not everything is grandiose. It's little things. You know what I mean? It's little instances of disrespect to you and your space and your property that you're not welcoming in. So another one I'll mention, I was in Rome, and I feel like this is one of those, and this again, I don't know, I don't read minds. Not a skill. That wasn't covered in my degree. But sometimes I feel like Black people be kind of looking out for Black people, because sometimes things could go wrong, right? So, Rome. Looking around at a little touristy shit, kind of underwhelmed, and I'm all right, moving along, right? I was leaving the Colosseum, and gentleman walks up to me, and he's just like, Hakuna Matata. And I'm like, cool. Hakuna fucking Matata, bro, whatever. And I'm trying not to be very New York, by like being like, eh, I'm good, bruh. I don't need anything. But I don't want to be too, hey, what's going on? Nice to meet you. I'm not from here. So it's like you finding that middle ground where I'm trying not to be a bitch. Like, but at the same time, I'm not trying to be too welcoming. It's like it's a give and take. It's a little dance we're doing here. So I'm like, hey. And he's just like, oh, so where are you from? And I'm just like, okay, there's this conversation that I wasn't trying to do. So we're talking or whatever. And he's actually being kind of nice. And he's just like, well, this is for you. So I'm like, I'm don't need anything. Thank you. And he's just like, no, it's a gift from me to you. It's you. And I think it's like a little turtle, like a wood carving turtle or some shit like that. And I'm like, nah, like, I'm totally cool. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. No, thank you. And he's just like, no, it's nothing. It's free. It's a gift. It's for you. So I'm like, okay, thanks. And then he goes into the, you know, maybe you could use something for, you know, like your friends or like, you know, if your family. Here's a bracelet. And now he's giving me a bracelet. And I'm like, yo, fam, like, I've got nothing to give. Isn't it like a Christmas churchy song? I've got nothing to give, you know, the baby Jesus thing. So, yeah, see, Rome, I'm not the only person. This is humanoid. Same thing happened. So I'm telling him, bro, I got nothing for you. Yep, she got a bracelet too. I can't see your picture. So I think it's a girl. Girl, my eyes, I can't see. I'm sorry, sis. Or bro, I can't see. I think this is human. I believe you are a woman. Anywho, I was trying to be kind and say, no, I don't need it. But now he's giving me things. And yep, puts it on your wrist, gives you the thing. And then he's just like, you know, if there's anything you could offer, if there's anything you could give, you know, I'm basically paying for it. I'm like, my nigga, here go the sob story. And so I'm like, all right, well, you could have this little 2 euro coin or, you know, whatever. I gave him something small. And I was like, that's all I got. I'm so sorry, but thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, the gift. Hey, Brittany. And so I'm just like, but they do Welcome to Alaska in Egypt to find the Americans so they can hike up the price. I've never heard that. Welcome to Alaska in Egypt. I don't know. I don't understand that. You're going to have to explain that, Atomic Travels. So, but I say all that to say, I was reading a couple things online about, you know, common scams and stuff like that. And I could see, and now mind you, they gave me the whole sister girl thing. They gave me the sis, oh, we're all from Africa. We're all from the motherland. I'm like, yes, we certainly are. However, this coin, this 2 euro, that's it. If you laugh, oh, okay, welcome to Alaska and Egypt. If they laugh, you know you're American. But why would I guess it's the delivery. I guess it's in their delivery why that would be funny. I guess. Or, oh, no, because they know. Well, I feel like people outside of America know where Alaska is, no? I would think so, but I guess I'd have to be there. But that's smart. It's just, perception. It's kind of like the way mind tricks work when you go to, when you think that someone's reading your mind or you think someone is speaking to a loved one that's passed on. A lot of it is just picking up on cues. It's body language. If you pay the fuck attention, a lot of times you'll be able to pick up on the same subtle little hints and the subtle cues that people are giving you so that you know so much about them. I don't know how y'all have never seen like the 47 movies that are about, you know, magicians and all of that shit and books and document. Guys, there's plenty of information as to why a lot of this stuff isn't true. Not to say that I don't believe that. Here's a rabbit hole that I'm going down, and thanks for holding my hand while I go. Not to say that I don't believe that there aren't mediums and I believe in ghosts and all that kind of shit, and I do think that there are people that can communicate with them and all that other great shit. However, in my mind, somebody that's got an HBO special or someone that is performing on, you know, a very busy street corner ain't that nigga. I feel like someone that actually does have a gift is probably not going to I don't want to say market it like that, but isn't necessarily going to do it that way. But it's not a gift that I have, so I can't necessarily say how someone else is going to use their gift. They could be. I just don't think that that's generally the case. I think for the most part that the people that you receive that are largely profiting or doing stuff like that, and I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with it, because a lot of it can just be entertainment. People enjoy feeling like they've got, you know, oh, he figured me out. He learned my deepest secrets. He knows I, you know, blah, blah, blah with my yada yada. I don't fucking know, but y'all know what I'm saying. So anyway, a lot of that, like you were saying, to Atomic Travel's point, is a lot of times these people are just really good fucking people watchers. And if you're not paying attention to someone else paying attention to you, you can easily get taken advantage of. A lot of people are just listening, not just to the way that you speak, the different the dialects, or what's the there's a word for it. I've used it before. It's not coming to me now, but basically recognizing where someone's accent is from, right? The way that they dress, the kind of accessories and just little things that people do that say where they're from. So definitely be careful. That's why I try to just blend in. I try to keep it, I'm a low person. I don't really do much genes and mannerisms. Yes, definitely mannerisms, but there's something else with language and being able to recognize someone's origin or the place that they're from, not just by their, by the language that they're speaking, but there was something else to it. And I feel like there's a whole linguistics in that general family, yeah. But say all that to say, there's definitely people watching you when you're out and about. So if you're not paying attention to people paying attention to you, don't be surprised. So what was the next one? Dialect, yes, that also. But there was something else. I think it was something in the linguists family-ish. So when I was leaving the airport did I forget to finish off? So that's another really great thing about y'all being on the lives with me, because I feel like when I fall down a rabbit hole, sometimes I don't remember to finish my point. But if I do, pull me back in. If not, back to Columbia. So I was leaving the airport, and if I'm going to take a taxi from the airport, I'll always ask my host what I should expect to pay when going from the airport to wherever it is I'm staying. So I did ask this host, and they basically told me $10, but make sure to take only the yellow taxis with X, Y, and Z on the top of it. She basically broke down what the fuck to do. So I said, appreciate it. That's what I'm doing. So I leave the airport, and mad people, oh, taxi, taxi, oh, driver, driver. I'm like, thank you. Just dodging all of the offers. No, thank you, sir. And so there's generally like a queue or like a line that you go to. They're all lined up. Those are the ones you go to, apparently. Like, she broke it down, followed her directions, went to one of these dudes, and he told me the magic number, and I think it was like $10 or $15, and boom, that's what I was doing. So I ended up getting in that taxi, and lo and behold, somehow, like, I don't remember how it happened, but I'm talking with my taxi driver, and he basically, somehow I'm talking to like six different taxi drivers. Don't ask me how it happens, but I'm talking to like six different dudes, and something, and I was just like, nah, I'm good. Or I was like, no, thank you. You don't have something on your car. I stood my ground. None of that extra nice shit. It's just like, fuck all y'all. I can't take six rides at once. Like, appreciate it. No, thank you. And so I think that just like me sticking my ground, they offered me like alcohol, and they was just like, you're so nice. You're good. You're smart. Oh, you're a very smart one. Where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, so you telling me that you was going to rip me off? Is that what we're doing? I don't understand what's happening here. But we're in the taxi, and we're pulling off, and then they're talking, and the guy stops. Now he's hanging out the window, and other guys, you know, leaning in the window, and we're all having a conversation. So now we're having a group chat. But got where I need to go. We'd already negotiated the price beforehand. Wasn't none of that funny shit. We changing our minds and any woo. Nope. You want to take this $10? That's what we agreed on, and we were on. So definitely be wary of, because I don't care what country you go to, they're always telling you not to accept rides from motherfucking strangers. I mean, everyone's a stranger because you ain't never been here, bitch. But, you know, just be mindful of the situation that you're putting yourself in. I also am very aware of making sure that I see my bag physically going into the trunk, and I never put my like my valuables, like my passport, my wallet, and cell phone and stuff like that in the trunk. I always keep it with me on my lap. or on the seat next to me, depending on, you know, whether I'm in the front or the back. So, but I also make sure that I see my bag go in the trunk and it's not going to stay on the curb and somebody else walk up, take it off, and hey, high five when y'all leave and y'all think y'all got some good shit. But you're really just going to have some nice children's size clothing. But some people need that, you know? So I always make sure to be aware of what's going on with my shit. So that's one thing. So be wary of people offering the rides. I would always ask the host or the hotel that you're staying at to confirm what a fair, reasonable price would be for you to get to where you got to go. Same thing on the way back. I always have, and then depending on what time I'm arriving, I'll have my host arrange for the car to come get me. This way, it's not 11 o'clock and there's only three taxis outside, and who knows what kind of taxis these are. Are these taxis that are bringing me where I need to go, or taxis that are bringing me where they want me to go? You know what I mean? That kind of shit. So, and another one I had seen online and then realized that it happened to me, fake petitions. I don't sign petitions to these little niggas walking on the trains. Cute kids, I ain't with the shits. You don't need my address. You don't need my phone number. You don't need my email address. Maybe you could get this dollar. Maybe you could get this quarter. You know, but no. Credit card numbers, card numbers. Like, I don't. If somebody is dumb enough to give this information, I go with God. You know what I mean? I can't be responsible for you and your decision making. However, I was coming out of, and this was actually right before I did the photo shoot in Colombia, in Cartagena. But that was such a day. Such a day. Anyway, I came from the beach and was walking through like this open market that was in the park. And I'm coming out and there's this young lady in like button up, and she's got like slacks on, you know, relatively nicely dressed, and it's got a clipboard and there's like this laminate with pictures, and it's like, you know, it looks like an official company kind of thing. And I probably literally spent like the last dollar that I had on me, other than maybe like buying like some food. Like, I just didn't have much cash on me. But I was talking to the young lady and she was telling me about whatever organization this was, and it seemed credible. It's kind of like when you're walking down the street in Manhattan and they're basically telling you, oh, we work with this organization and we're collecting funds for this, and how do you feel about, you know, animals, do you like your dog, and whatever the fuck they try to sell you. Because I always keep my ear pods in, so I don't really pay these people no mind. However, they almost got me. And I feel like I wanted to give some money, but I just didn't have anything on me to give. And what I did, however, instead of giving them my information, or instead of giving, you know, what do you call it? Cash or money or whatever, I took their information. I took a picture. I think I took a picture of what their website was, like what the email address or like what the Instagram was. And I said, you know, oh, you guys accept credit cards online, all that stuff? Okay, well, when I get home, I'll donate then. So that always gives you the option of researching the company, researching what forms of payment are accepted, because I'll automatically trust you so much more if you accept PayPal, because God forbid something goes left, I can dispute that. Also, if you do get scammed and it turns out that this money doesn't go to whatever company that they say it is, or whatever organization they say it should go to, you don't have to get a new credit card. You're not at risk for losing your credit card number. Like, your personal information isn't as greatly exposed as it would be had you have given them your credit card information. So I like to take the information. If you are a good salesperson and you're a good sell and you pull me in, all right, I ain't gonna give you no shit now, but you give me your information and I'll do my due diligence on my end and we'll take it from there. So I almost got with the fake petition. And then not to say that it had to be fake. It could have been actual petition, but I don't know. So those for me are the ones that I was able to pull off the top that I have personally experienced. But I'm going to say farewell to my friends on the live. Thank you guys for chatting with me. I appreciate all of the participation. I really do. It's been so fun actually having you guys part of the episode with me. So this is actually something I'm going to keep doing. So definitely join me next week. I'm glad I've been able to give you guys some good information. I see a couple of see you commented that you'd never considered that. So peace and kisses to you guys. Thank you. And if you want to hear the rest of the episode and the rest of the information, like, I definitely check out the rest of the episode on Thursday. Bye. So, but not bye for the podcast. Just bye on the live. And now, share the story. So, to finish with you guys, and thank you again to Humanoid, Brittany from Cali. Hey, sis. Thank you for participating. I'm so glad you love the podcast. So, I had one coworker tell me about a situation he experienced in Peru. So there's this old lady in a taxi and she's getting out of taxi or something, but it's an older woman. So it's automatically somebody that, you know, looks very unoffensive, if you will. And she basically says, oh, do you have change for a 20 or do you have change for this larger bill? A 20 is generally reasonable because somebody having two 10s is more expected than, say, somebody having, you know, two $50 bills or some shit like that to break 100. And so he goes, yeah, sure. You know, she has to pay the taxi or whatever. And so he gives her two 10s and takes a $20 bill, goes to a store, and he's told this is a fake bill. This is a counterfeit bill. So my man's got. Little old lady scammed him. They basically get you by saying, do you have change for this or can you break this bill? And they give you the counterfeit and you end up taking the, you give them your good money and they give you the counterfeit money. And you got to be careful with that because there is also, it's kind of like a two-part thing. One, because you don't want to be the one that someone tries to, I can think of a million different ways this can go wrong. Already I got three. One of them could be you go to a store, you try to give them the counterfeit bill not knowing that is counterfeit, and now they're calling the police because they think or they don't want to as easily or readily believe that you're not trying to scam them. And so now there's this whole clusterfuck of shit going on, and the actual cops come and they now try to bribe you to not get you into jail. Or there's actually a scam that I saw where they will have fake police. Like, they'll have people come and flash like this fake badge, but you don't know it's fake because you're not from there. Who knows what their badges look like a lot of times, you know, right? So they'll show you like this fake bag and then they ask to check your wallet for counterfeits and or drug money. So you don't know if this is a real police officer or if it's not a real police officer. You're trying to just be a fucking tourist, enjoy yourself, and now all of a sudden the cops are stopping you. I can definitely understand, and I ain't gonna sit here and act like I wouldn't be uncomfortable if cops in a foreign country stopped me. Whether they're real cops or not, I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? So that can easily have you do something that in the moment you think is right, but actually is a disservice to you. So, I mean, it could benefit you to have a fake wallet, if you will. Keep an expired credit card in there maybe, or, you know, $5, $10 in American money or something like that in that wallet, so that if for some reason someone were to say to you, you know, if someone tried to rob you, one, give me your wallet, you give them that and be about your business, hopefully. Or if somebody were to stop you and say, yes, this is a police check, we've heard of, you know, counterfeits being spent here, we need to check your money or whatever, and you could just give them your fake wallet. I don't know. This is just something that came to mind. That's never something that's happened to me, but when I was looking up information for the episode, I saw in more than one place that fake police and people and the fake police asking to check a wallet or something is something that happens more often than not. There was another one about like hotel inspectors where they will like one will wait in the hallway, one will come in and do like, you know, a sweep of the room. And while you're speaking with one about something, they're like swiping your shit off of the dresser or something like that. So, of course, don't let people in your fucking room. What the fuck is there to inspect? You know what I mean? That's another thing. I don't stay at hotels. I also don't really travel with that much stuff that, you know, I mean, granted, something may not be keep in mind though, just because something isn't necessarily expensive doesn't mean that it's not important to you. So I have tons of fake jewelry. However, I like my fucking fake jewelry. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this ring that I have on now, it was actually given to somebody that just came into my job. I was helping an older woman, and I tend to be especially nice to people of color that need help just because I know what it feels like to walk into a space and not feel welcomed. And where I work is predominantly white people. And, you know, when we come in, good morning, good afternoon. And nobody really expects it, but I catch a lot of people off guard, but it's a joy in my day to be especially kind and warm to the people that look like me. And, you know, I helped her out. She seemed a little, you know, I don't want to say abrasive, but she just seemed kind of just uninterested in what all, you know, was going on with me and being, hey, how are you? Pleasant, blah, blah, blah. I helped her. And, you know, she just went about her business. She wasn't nasty, but she just also wasn't, because a lot of times, you know, old women like, hey, baby, how you feeling today? Oh, thank you so much. Oh, you're so pretty. Or, you know, they strike up a little conversation. They start talking. None of that. She wasn't rude, but she was just, okay, thank you, bye. And so I'm talking to a coworker, and before I know it, she drops the ring in my pocket. And I'm like, no, no, no. And she immediately stopped me, and she was like, no, take it. Thank you, because I had told her when she came through, I was such a beautiful ring. And I don't even think she said thank you at the time or whatever. She was just like, you know, in her head trying to get done what she came in there for. And she was like, no, it's inexpensive. I appreciate your help. Thank you for being so kind. They sell them at my church. I can get another one. It's an adjustable ring. Thank you so much. Have a great day. And she left and she wouldn't take it back. And so little things like that, it cost me nothing. She's already explained to me it didn't cost her much of anything, but it's just something that I hold dear to me. I fucking like the ring, you know? So even though your things aren't necessarily expensive things, because I definitely suggest you not travel with expensive things, just because God forbid something as innocent as the airline losing your luggage or something like, I don't know, say there were a flood in the area you were staying in because of weak infrastructure or something in this, you know, third world country that you're having a great time exploring. But, you know, you got to keep in mind that all the same, precautions and safety guards that you may be accustomed to here in the States, or in, like, I don't know if you live in Canada, I have listeners in Canada, or in other possibly, or even a couple of you guys are in Europe, more developed nations, you know? We're used to a certain standard of safety that isn't exactly afforded in every area. So some things that you take for granted may put you at risk for losing things. And it doesn't necessarily have to be at any, not mischievous, but malicious. It doesn't have to be because of something malicious, you know? So anyway, say all that to say, don't leave stuff out. I try not to travel with expensive stuff, but that's just to say that it doesn't mean your shit don't mean nothing. What else was I looking into? Oh, I'd seen it on Instagram. I forgot whose account it was, but a young lady had gone to, I want to say it was Nigeria. And of course, she had some dresses, some pants, and she had some things done. And she had definitely noted, I think it was, I couldn't remember her name to just go back and double check it. But I think she had basically said, don't one, be careful of your timing. Make sure that you have time to go back, try your shit on, and make sure that it's being tailored well for your body and not just, you know, them cutting the material. Oh, get your scraps, because you'll pay all of this money for this material and have mad shit left over. So make sure you get your scraps back. You shouldn't have to pay extra for your scraps. You paid for them when you paid for the garments. And two, she was saying, I think she said, don't pay them in the beginning, because you want to make sure that there's a reason for them to keep working on your items so that when you're ready to leave, your shit is ready with you. And I'd seen someone follow up in the comments. Yeah, somebody tried to get me that way where they told me pay everything up front, and I ended up almost missing my flight because they started taking their time with it, or it was something to the effect of, yeah, basically don't get caught, don't get got. So if you are going to a different country, I know that a lot of people go to Thailand to, I know I had a coworker that would go every year and buy like 3 suits. He would get custom made suits out there because they were dirt cheap. A lot of shit is cheap in Thailand. I definitely can attest to that. You could get like a suit that might have cost you $1,200 out here for like $300 out there, and it's a expertly tailored suit to your body. I think he was paying like $120 because he kept going to the same guy every year to get him done. But definitely be careful of services that are being rendered to you. And I could have actually got in Thailand myself, because I had travel sleeve. I had gotten this one. Let me see what you guys are seeing. Not that one. Okay. So it was this one here. I got this tattoo. I'm trying to show it to you. I'd gotten that tattoo in Thailand, right? And I excitedly paid for it. I walked in on, I want to say, Wednesday. I paid for it in full on Wednesday. We had the everything planned, and I was going to come back on Friday to get it before I got on the plane. Well, Thursday, I'm coming back from running around the day, just going to see some temples. I think I did the elephant ride, forgive me, and I did a whole bunch of other shit, and I'd asked my taxi driver, where do you think I should eat? That's another scam people could get you on. You ask a local or you ask a driver or somebody, hey, where do you suggest I go? And then, of course, they send you to the place where they know the people, and they're going to definitely overcharge you. So be careful. Kind of use your intuition. Use your, you know, and be, you know, just be wary of the people that you're asking for advice. And keep in mind that you may get still taken advantage of. You may have the locals tell you to go someplace where, you know, they're going to profit. They get something off the top or from the side or shit from the underneath. I don't fucking know, but just keep that in mind. But I had paid in full for the tattoo. And then when I was walking on Thursday, one of the guys stopped me and started asking me questions, and I was caught off guard because I'm like, who the fuck are you? And then I realized, oh, this is the guy that was sitting in the corner that wasn't helping me, that wasn't planning to do the tattoo, but was also in the shop. And he was saying, we're not going to have power on Friday. Can you come today? Fuck yes, I can. That was just the intentional, beautiful world looking out for me. The universe said, hey, sis, we don't want you fucked over. So I ended up going to eat, came back an hour later, and got my tattoo done, because how am I going to get a refund? They weren't going to have any power. So I would have had to somehow trust that they would have refunded my money after I returned back to the States. I'm not going to take my, you know what I mean? I'm going to miss my flight for, I think I paid $117, $118 for it or something like that. Some of the best work I've ever gotten done. And it was actually one of the least expensive tattoos. I've got some of these smaller ones that ran me like $70, $90. I think I paid $100 for this one in Rome, and it's like a third of the size and a third of the details. Girl, I tend not to question the prices that I get from artists. One, because I know as an artist, we're sensitive about our shit, and a lot of times we're undervalued and, you know, our work costs. So if I can't afford the work, then I just won't get it done. But I'm not going to fight you on what you say your price is. So if you tell me something and it just really hits my spirit as, nah, bitch, you're bugging, versus, damn, that's more than I wanted to pay. I was hoping to get something cheaper because conversions, and I know I'm overseas and it shouldn't really cost that much. But again, I realize that a lot of people make their money on fucking tourists. If you're going to do a good job, if you're going to provide a good service, I don't mind getting beat in the head as much. Just be gentle about it. Don't be nasty or disrespectful about it. Try to make me feel like everybody pays this price. Oh, and I think I had started to say before, we know that there's a price that we'll give our friends. We will give a price to people we know, or, you know, you give a certain referral to certain people, and then you know that they're going to take care of them the way that you're going to be taken care of when you go someplace that you're known, right? That's another reason why I always ask my host what a fair price for something is, because I know, one, that locals get one price, two, foreigners get another price, and then also, as a Black woman, I never know what prejudices, and this is a luxury that I've never not known, because someone like a white American or a white European or someone that's not of color may not ever wonder if they're being, discriminated against based on price or the amount of service or the type of service they're getting because of the way that they present to the world. Or like a cis straight man, or even as a cis straight woman, heteroflexible, if you will. But as a cis woman, I don't necessarily know what it's like to possibly feel like someone is not treating me fairly because of how I identify. I do, however, know that I've been treated unfairly because I've been a woman. I do know that I've been treated unfairly because I am Black. So sometimes I like to, not sometimes, all the time, I like to ask in advance for the cost of certain things just so I can take that worry out of my mind. I know that different folks get different treatment, and I don't ever want to step into a taxi or step into a cab and ask for what the price is and not know whose price they're giving me. Sometimes you may come up. Sometimes I say, damn, she's cute. I'm not going to charge you as much. And then other people might say, yep, she's American. We're going to double it. So I try to have a gauge for what someone that is from there knows to be fair and then take it from there. So I'm pretty sure that I started on that a while ago and then fell down one of my fucking rabbit holes. But what were the last couple of things? Oh, so things that we definitely know, like the scams that we're all aware of, don't think that just because it's a campy kind of thing or if it's because that you've heard of it before that it don't still happen, that people don't get still got. Don't forget about the very obvious, distractions. Where I was reading one where there's a woman that's arguing with a shopkeeper or a merchant or of some type, and they're accusing her of stealing something. So then she starts stripping down. So she's taking off all her clothes to prove that she didn't steal anything. And while everybody's being fucking nosy and everybody's in somebody else's business that don't got shit to do with them, you got people walking around that are pickpocketing or, you know, taking bags that you're putting down while you're taking pictures of this chick taking her clothes off, right? So for those people that have been, you know, less than favorable in their reason for attention that they're paying to this person, fuck you. You know, maybe you deserve to get your shit taken. However, pickpockets, and this was a really fun thing to note, don't always look like they should be pickpockets. A lot of people are dressing up like business people and having like, you know, official papers and documents and things in their hands. And then a lot of them are also dressing up like tourists, fanny packs, binoculars, or, you know, guidebooks, maps and stuff. Because you're going to feel a little safer around someone that appears to be clueless, or your guard is going to be down around somebody that you're assuming is also a tourist versus somebody that's in regular jeans and a t-shirt and looks like they're waiting for the bus because they're going someplace that they've been to 47,000 times before. So if you, and then also other distractions like street fairs, street performers, really heavily populated tourist sites. If anything, keep your hands in your pocket. If your hands are in your pocket, somebody else can't put their hands in your pocket. Ladies, you know that crossbodies are great. Bags that actually close are great. I personally am a huge fan of crossbodies because you can close them. My hands is free. And I know at, you know, and it's right on my body. So I could, for the most part, feel if somebody's trying to go into it and stuff like that. And what was the other one? That was pretty much it. Oh, look at us. Finish. See, I had another outline, guys. I really try to have good information for you. Oh, that was it. Well dressed and with official shit in the hands. Yeah, so just because something is one of those, oh no, now I remember. There we go. The card game where you have the three cards, find the queen, that kind of thing, or you put the shell under the cup and hey, which one has a shell, which one has the ball? It's stupid. It's one of those things that we all think we're above, but I'm assuming that if you're listening to this podcast, that somehow we are in tune. And yes, you're smarter than that, but I'm certain you have a friend that ain't. So spread the word, share the message, tell them don't get stupid, don't get got. You're always going to lose those things. And it's like, if you're a gambler, you're a gambler, go ahead and gamble. Be prepared to lose that money. Otherwise, keep your hands in your pockets, keep your eyes open, head on a swivel, pay the fuck attention, and know that you are likely being watched. So if you are aware of people being aware of you and you're watching the people that are watching you, hopefully you don't get fucked up out here. All right, guys, so thanks for listening. We are a year in. I've had an incredible fucking time. I hope you're having a good time with me. That's what she said. Hey. And see you next week and shit. Don't forget to tune in on Tuesday. I've got some really great episodes coming up for you guys. I've also got some surprises coming. Stay tuned. There's a lot of shit in the works. I'm really excited to see where this goes. And I'm excited to have you guys come along with me. So be sure to follow me on the Instagrams. I go live on underscore D Carry, letter D, C-A-R-R-I-E. You can also follow me at Travel and Shit, T-R-A-V-E-L, the letter N-S-H-I-T, and then an exclamation mark. And I hope you guys are actually, whatever platform you're listening on, please subscribe. I'd appreciate if you fuck with the podcast, you've been rocking with me for a while. Especially on iTunes, review it, you know, give me them 5 stars and say, oh my God, she's so awesome. Love her so much. Ooh. And, you know, throw that up there. So what was the other thing? Oh, dcarry.com. I have the, episode links and shit that I described throughout. Anything extra will be there. So thanks. Appreciate y'all. See you next fucking week. Bye.